WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Apartment buildings near Tel Aviv destroyed. A hospital hit in southern Israel as Iran hit civilian targets this morning, wounding 40. Israel attacked an inactive Iranian nuclear reactor, still hoping for the U.S. bunker buster bomb to penetrate the main nuclear facility. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
In the White House Situation Room, sources say Trump was briefed on military operations for striking Iran, including a plan to destroy Iran's Fordo nuclear facility deep inside a mountain using a weapon only the U.S. has.
Iran is sending its foreign minister to meet with the European counterparts tomorrow in Geneva. In Israel's other war, the Gaza Health Ministry says 12 people have been killed this morning trying to reach aid distribution sites. Mud and rock slides have rendered I-40 impassable through the Great Smoky Mountains. Hurricane warning for Acapulco, Eric, now a Category 4. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin lawmakers passed a flurry of bills yesterday, both in the Senate and the Assembly. But they started out with a moment of silence for the victims of the Minnesota shootings, their families, and the whole state. This is from the Senate.
I request that my colleagues join me in a moment of silence to honor our colleague from Minnesota, Representative and Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, who were assassinated over the weekend, as well as our colleague from Minnesota, Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, who were grievously injured in the same attack.
Without objection.
The Senate and the Assembly were in session discussing everything from training for EMS workers to school safety grants. Republican Senator Jesse James from Chippewa County in a press conference before the session. He authored this bill for school safety grants.
It's all too often that we turn on the news and see the headline of another school shooting. These tragedies break our hearts and crush our communities. In recent months, we've seen all too clearly that this can even happen here in Wisconsin.
But this plan for extra money to help school districts improve safety fell apart. Democrats say an amendment added by Republicans strips the plan of its actual funding for schools to pay for it. Senator Mark Spreitzer from Beloit.
You're just playing games. You're just daring the governor to veto this because you think that it'll score political points. You think you can go home and tell your constituents that you did something for school safety. Well, you didn't.
A total of 30 bills was on the agenda yesterday for the Senate. Meanwhile, the budget process continues today for lawmakers. The Joint Finance Committee is set to take up the budget for the Department of Justice, the Department of Administration, and the Department of Children and Families. Committee co-chair Republican Mark Bourne said on Tuesday that they would be taking up the plan to reform prisons today as well. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
Baseball today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Cubs go at it today at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field in Chicago. Last night's game rained out and rescheduled for August 18th. NFL, former Packers defensive back Jair Alexander signed a one-year deal yesterday with the Baltimore Ravens, reported worth $6 million, but a breakdown shows the deal is actually $4 million with the rest based on incentives and how many games played. NBA, former Oshkosh North High alum Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Thunder up 3-2 in that series, but Halliburton dealing with a strained right calf muscle.
Practice today, did what I could. I know Coach told you guys what the process will be for me to play, and we're just taking it from there.
Are you dealing with the strain?
Yeah.
That's the Indiana Pacers shooting guard Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Drying out after a wet Wednesday, mostly sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 84. For tonight, mostly clear skies, a mild night with a low of 64. Another warm one on Friday, a spotty shower or storm can't be ruled out, a high again of 84. Currently, it's 62.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to FreedomFireworksWI.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Buying a home is kind of like eating pistachios. Some are easy to open, some take a little work, and every once in a while, you get a tough one that makes you question your life choices. That's where we come in. At Aaron Weber Group, we crack open the market and find you the perfect home. Whether you're looking for a cozy starter home or a mansion with a snack pantry big enough for a lifetime supply of pistachios, we've got you covered. Call Aaron Weber Group at Powered by Compass today. We'll help you find a home that's nothing but perfect.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. It's a beautiful
morning. We got a new act. It's phenomenal. It's sensational. It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a ass.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Thank you, AI. Good morning to you, too. 6 minutes past the hour. Yeah. Sunshine this morning in the Mad City. And
we were wondering where the leaf blower guys are out there.
Yeah, where have
State
they been?
State Street this morning. We overlooked the great, legendary State Street, and they're not there.
No. Nope.
And Robert out at McFarland said, hey, guys, it's a federal holiday. The leaf blower dudes won't be out there today.
Oh, okay. Well, that could be. I guess
it is.
So.
It's Juneteenth Day.
That's right. It is beautiful out there. Highs today in the low 80s, but it's going to feel muggy once again. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958. Some things remain constant, though. Throughout Verlo's history, they're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east side and west side. Go to verlo.com.
You know, these abductions, immigration abductions, and deportations, scaring the daylights out of Americans out there. I mean, this is going on all over in the blue cities, but it'll be in a neighborhood near you soon, I'm sure. But we can't identify these people. They all wear different clothing. In fact, it's almost like dress-up time. I understand that a few of these raids actually had people dressed up as military, but they're actually just ICE agents, which is also scary. And they don't need, or they aren't showing you any kind of reason why they're picking you up. Is there a warrant signed by somebody at ICE? Is there anything at all, any identifying way of knowing who they are.
Right.
And these are unmarked trucks that they just throw people into now.
That's what's scary about it. They don't know who, you know, they can't identify them at all.
That's right.
You know, they don't, I mean, it could be, you could feel like you're just being kidnapped, you know, by, and in a sense, you are.
Exactly. and what's happened, like the comptroller in New York City, you know, he was just in the group. And the ICE agents are trying to get the immigrant who just appeared in immigration court. But they tried to grab him. And, of course, this comptroller was part of the mix.
Right.
And suddenly they just arrested him, too. And this is what's happening out in the streets. I have an example of that. This is 20-year-old Adrian Andrew Martinez. His family now is trying to understand what happened to him. Because he was kind of harassing the ICE agents. Yeah, you can, you know, freedom of speech. You can go out there and you can tell them what you think. You don't touch them. You're not pushing them. You're just yelling at them, basically.
Right.
And that shouldn't affect them. But it has affected them. And I want to play this television coverage of what happened to Adrian Andrew Martinez. Okay, let's listen to Cut 163.
A tense confrontation between Border Patrol agents and a 20-year-old man in Pico Rivera. Adrian Andrew Martinez was on a lunch break working at the nearby Walmart when video shows him standing up to agents who appeared infuriated. Backup arrives and armed agents swarm Adrian, taking him down. His family told KTLA that Adrian was detained after he intervened, allegedly assaulting an agent who was questioning someone else at the shopping center.
They tried to take the janitor or something, and that's what I heard. But I heard that he tried defending the janitor they tried taking.
His friend, who did not want to be identified, says he's a U.S. citizen. Soon after, protesters took to the streets, marching from City Hall to the intersection of Washington and Rosemead, demanding ICE out of Pico Rivera.
This is not the country that we live in. This is not what we represent. And we're desperate. They're pushing us to the edge, and we're trying to keep everybody safe and peaceful.
The Trump administration says its, quote, lawful raids will continue throughout
LA
as it ramps up deportations in blue cities, and that agents are targeting criminals.
That's not true. They're getting everybody. They're singly targeting people that are at car washes, that are working, that are selling flowers, that are selling ice creams, etc. It's not just criminals.
Residents in this working class Hispanic community say they will resist the ongoing ICE raids.
We were granted a very special opportunity from our parents, right? My family is immigrants, and stripping other kids from that just feels immorally wrong.
And I just got off the phone with Adrian's mother. She tells me that she has yet to hear from her son at all. She knows that he's in federal custody, but at this hour, she doesn't know where he's being detained.
Now, I watched the video of him being detained in taking away Adrian. All he was doing was standing there yelling at these ICE agents, telling them, you know, this guy has done nothing wrong, and he's trying to defend his fellow Walmart employee.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's sad. He was just yelling at him.
He wasn't doing anything.
He wasn't touching the agents or the ICE agents at all. Let's listen to the scuffle. Well, listen.
What is he doing?
This is my civil right. I can record you if I want.
Hey, these are legal citizens, you fucking pieces of shit. Hey, that's for work, bro. That's for work. Hey, what the fuck? Don't touch me, dude.
The thing is, the ICE agents were pushing and pushing and pushing, and he said, don't touch me, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, he didn't touch back. But because he was yelling, you could see this ICE agent come back at him and then take him into custody. And that's how this whole thing happens, and you start sweeping up other people in these ICE raids.
And it's so sad to see because he's only 20 years old. He's only 20
years old. Yes, 20 years old, and he's trying to defend a fellow employee.
Yeah.
Kind of heroic.
Unreal.
And these things are happening all over the country. It's stunning to me that we're... We don't have a choice in all of this, and I don't know if you've seen these polls out there, but people are actually enjoying this. The poll numbers for Trump are going up the way he's handling this. People aren't worried about it. They're not really concerned, which is very concerning to me.
Yes.
When we had the election and they voted Trump in, I thought, yes, the American public really does kind of want to try out a strong man and see how that works out. And I think they're still on board with it.
Yeah.
And I
apparently so.
I don't know. Just scary as heck.
It's frightening, yeah.
So anyway, that's going on all over. I mean, there were other examples in the news as well, but I thought that was quite revealing. And he's an American citizen. Mm. And now they don't know where he is.
Well, that's happening a lot.
And the whole, I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is because that would be like my son, and I know they're like this. They would try to defend a friend of theirs, a fellow employee.
Sure.
They would do the same exact thing, and I'm just worried about my kids being swept up in all of this and not hearing back from them and not knowing what happened to them. Mm-hmm. And that's really starting to bother me an awful lot. And I don't know why the CJs and my mega friend in Milwaukee, why they're not concerned about it, why they don't see the impact of this on society. Our civilization in this country, this is what makes us the United States, and we're not united anymore.
And it's gone from the ICE agents targeting the original idea, gang members. You know, we're going after the gang members. They've got tattoos, and you know they're bad guys, and we're gonna just, and they're bringing fentanyl in and all this. But now it's gone to hotel workers, Walmart workers. Yeah. I mean, come on, it's progressed quite a bit from the original mission, apparently.
Well, it really has. Now, another topic we've talked about on the show is AI. How much can you really trust it? I don't trust it anymore. I was very much on board with AI. Yeah. I thought, what a great new thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it'll open up a whole new area of thinking and work, but it is not that. Because this story came across, get this, Musk's own AI creation, Grok, has been accused by conservatives of favoring liberals in its responses. Now, they're accusing an AI-generated thing of being liberal or indoctrinated by the liberal media somehow, somewhere along the way, because, you know, Grok has to use what's out there to get its information.
To think.
So, I'm sorry, what does Grok even mean? Like, what is
Grok?
I can't remember. There is a reference to that.
Yeah.
But the question was asked in a neutral way, Grok, since 2016, has the left or the right been more violent? And the answer that Grok gave was, since 2016, data suggests right-wing political violence has been more frequent and deadly, with incidents like the January 6th Capitol riot and mass shootings, El Paso 2019, causing significant fatalities. That's what Grok had as an answer. And the response by the creator of Grok, Elon, this is what he said. Major fail, as this is objectively false. Grok is parroting legacy media. That's where it's getting its information from, the media, and legacy media isn't like one or two media companies. It's everything that's out there covering the media, covering what the news is saying. And Grok is using that information, and that's a problem. In fact, Elon says, this is something he's going to fix. Now, that alone scares the daylights out of me, because that immediately discredits anything AI is creating for us out there as a way of finding information.
Yeah.
Right? Because if he can fix the information,
then
what's the point of AI? What are we doing here?
Elon thinks he knows best. What's best for everybody.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, this is, anyway, he's promising now to fix Grok.
God. Oh, we can rest easy now.
I mean, what is he objecting to? Vance Bolter being accused of, assassinating political figures? I mean,
I don't know.
Obviously, that wasn't a Democrat.
Right.
And all of the other examples that Grok had come up with, you know, police reports, you know, eyewitness news, the whole thing. That's what AI is supposed to be doing, accumulating this data and giving you an answer. Well, but now Elon says he's going to fix that.
We'll see what AI's response is. I mean, AI pushes back now on things.
I feel like Elon says that a lot, too. I feel like that's just a common thing that Elon says.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. Now, there's good news, too, and we'll get to Jim Santel's coming in here just a few moments, and we'll be talking about the latest court decisions that are out there. But one of the big decisions we'll be talking about is the order by a judge to start resuming passports for transgender Americans who sign it with an X. They cannot block that from happening now, at least momentarily.
That's coming
up. We'll ask him about that.
All right. We're also going to be checking in with Brittany Merlot. We'll get the latest on this muggy weather and a whole lot more. And this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by our friends at Madison Hearing Aid Center. Jim and Sarah do a terrific job there. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison, and they help people change their lives. Their goal is not just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. Madison Hearing Aid Center, fast and flexible appointments. They're family-owned. Convenience over complexity. And again, they're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road. doing a terrific job. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
In just a moment, we'll get to the Hegseth hearings.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this was really something.
Yeah.
And Brittany Merlot right around the corner with the weather on John and Gordy in the Morning.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing from their mattress. A good night's rest, am I right? It's not rocket science. You don't need a physics genius to make you a futuristic space bed. You just need someone to listen to what you want and who knows the materials that will get you there. And you might even be surprised to learn that that someone could be living right next door. At Verlo, we're your friendly neighborhood mattress genius. American made, locally crafted. Welcome to Verlo.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Hey everybody, Rocker here. Join me for the Max Inc. Preview every Friday morning with John and Gordy right here on WMDX. And now they're up for Best Radio Team on Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll. Let me just say, these guys rock, so they're getting my vote, and I hope you get out your vote too. They may be old, but they still know how to rock.
Thank you, Rocker.
Please, please vote for us.
Please. You'll be here tomorrow. If you want to find out how to vote, you can go to WMDXradio.com.
I don't want to sound desperate or anything.
You are sounding desperate.
Please vote for us.
You can only vote once in this poll, and you have 11 days left.
And we tried to game it, but we couldn't find a way to do that.
That's right.
All right. Well, anyway.
It's 23 past. Look at the sun coming through the
windows.
Isn't
that amazing?
Here.
That just happened. You know why?
Why?
Because we have Brittany Merlot.
Oh, she's our ray of sunshine every morning.
A ray of sunshine. Oh.
Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Thank you, guys. I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good.
Yeah, it's still kind of muggy out.
Yeah.
That dew point's still in the low 60s, I think. Right?
Yeah, about 62 degrees, so it's up there.
Tracking that? Got an eye on it, John?
I'm watching it.
Got a bunch of rain that moved through yesterday and last night. That kind of tapered off and moved out. But, it's beautiful. It's beautiful looking anyway. Right. Now.
After yesterday, right? But you had flash flood warnings down south in Janesville area, too. I know that was not you guys, but close enough.
Yes,
I'm glad you missed
that's
it.
Close. Yeah.
Right? right?
Yeah.
But we're looking at a lot of sunshine today, honestly. Nice and warm, mid-80s. Dew points aren't too bad,
yeah,
considering what we have coming ahead. Comparatively, it's more comfortable today. So we've got this front still draped over the state. The darn thing, it's taking its time. So it's still going to send a few more showers and storms possible. But I think a lot of those are going to stay north, probably east and away from you. So I really think you're good to go until tomorrow morning. That's when you can't escape the rain. More showers, more storms. Again, I think it's going to be gone by the afternoon. So we could see some sunshine by the end of the day tomorrow. Winds start to get breezy out of the south. And that's where all that heat and humidity starts to surge in. And I don't know about you, but I'm going either in the water or staying inside in the AC because these temperatures are going to hit about 93 degrees is what I'm thinking. Both Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then the dew points in the mid-70s, potentially upper 70s, which is gross.
I know. I know. Yeah. It's time to go to the water parks. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Find the sprinklers, the water toys, the squirt guns, anything.
Right. Everything and anything.
Well, yeah, so get used to the heat.
And you know why? Because summer is coming up.
That's right. Summer begins tomorrow, right?
It does. It's the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. We've got tomorrow and a little bit of Saturday, and then the days start to slowly get shorter. Hmm. Crazy to think about.
Okay, now sunset is at 8:40 tonight.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll have to watch that. It may go up to 8:41 or 2.
You know, I'm wondering.
It'll be just seconds longer, unfortunately. I know. It's about 15 hours and 22 minutes and 19 seconds of daylight, if you're curious.
Wow. Okay.
Right off the top of your head. Wow.
Well, Brittany, you know,
you are good.
It's going to be really, really hot. And, you know, summer is beginning. And, you know, it just starts me to wondering, you know, we haven't talked about interplanetary weather in a long time. Do you have something ready for interplanetary weather?
Interplanetary weather.
You bet. Of course I do. Let's talk about the sun.
All right.
Okay. Sure.
So
what about
I had
the sun?
No idea that the sun was, I knew it was really, really hot, but I didn't know how hot it was at the core. Mm-hmm. You guys have any guesses?
I have no idea. I mean, how do they measure that, first of all? And, you know,
good question.
But, I'm going to say it's more than 10,000 degrees. I don't know. It's a guess.
You know what, though? You were on the dot to the surface temperature of the sun. 10,000 degrees is what the surface of the sun is, but down at the core,
good one,
27 million degrees Fahrenheit.
What?
27 million degrees Fahrenheit.
27 million?
Cools off quite a bit on the surface.
but it's a dry heat, right?
It's a dry heat.
The molten heat.
Dry heat.
Wow, that's just amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Oh. Well, thank you for that interplanetary weather. We appreciate that, Brittany.
You're welcome. Okay. Those are always fun. And stay cool as we go through this weekend.
There we go. Okay. Close the book on that. Okay. Hey, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Find out about the weekend some more. Okay.
Sounds good.
All
you
right.
Too.
Take
That's
care.
Brittany Merlot, our WMDX meteorologist. Okay. And this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo Mattress. A lot has changed since 1958. Some things remain constant throughout Verlo's history. They're direct-to-consumer and providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Go to verlo.com for more information. Not a lot of time here.
There's not enough time for fitting our story about Hegseth.
Oh,
you know, he had some amazing comments to the people interviewing him.
Well, maybe we can talk to Jim Santel about that a little bit.
You maybe know?
There's some legality involved in some of that.
He doesn't know what's going on. He's a former host on Fox News. Come
talking
on,
talking about Hegseth now.
Yeah, Jim Pete Santel, Hegseth.
He knows
this is
what's
just
happening.
Ridiculous. This guy is nuts. And you know, it doesn't seem like he cares. He's just playing a game with the Senate.
He's very combative. You know, he doesn't want to answer anything.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's not going
to
answer
He's trying
anything.
To be clever.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not
coming across well. In fact, it's belligerent.
Mm-hmm.
And these senators weren't real happy with a lot of his responses.
No, they weren't. Yeah. And that's going to continue. Is he done with his testimony, or is he going to be back?
I don't know. We should be done. We don't want to hear any more from him. He has nothing to add.
Yes.
Nothing to add.
All right.
Okay, Jim Santel coming up with a lot of legal things to talk about.
And Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, with the Midwest Food and Farm Report next. And then we'll be back with Jim Santel on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A new bipartisan agreement down at the state capitol could mean some improved health care options for folks in rural communities. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. It is called the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act. And Wisconsin Senator Patrick Teston from Stevens Point, who chairs the Senate Agriculture and Revenue Committee, is happy that it's finding support. Teston says that this bill has been around for at least 13 years, trying to authorize qualified registered nurses to practice independently of a physician and without need for collaboration, as long as cases don't fall outside their areas of expertise. Teston says that gives rural health care providers a whole lot more options.
You know, we have an agreement, and while not everyone was 100% happy with the final product, I am quite confident it's going to get signed into law and it's going to move these advanced practice registered nurses in the right direction, which is primarily to empower them to do the jobs that they were trained to do, which is to take care of patients. And so I'm hopeful that we will become the 29th state that has enacted a form of this legislation. And it's a step in the right direction to help patients and empower providers.
That's Wisconsin Senator Pat Teston. He says when it comes to frontline medical professionals, especially in rural communities, they are well aware of the dire workforce challenges being faced. He said this APRN Modernization Act would hopefully help relieve some of that stress.
Wisconsin's dairy farmers are more than just producers of milk and cheese. They're dedicated caretakers of the land, animals, and communities that they call home. Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, explains the essential role that these farmers play and how we can all take part in supporting them.
So we know our Wisconsin dairy farmers have a really long history of caring for their land and water, mostly because these are multi-generational farms, but they also take really great care in making sure they're taking care of their cows and their families and farms and communities. So there's a lot on a farmer's plate, but they are such a vital, important role in their communities. And we encourage consumers to really engage with our dairy farmers, ask them the questions they have, and then they can support dairy farmers by buying products made from our Wisconsin milk. And that's very easy to do in the store. You can go to any retailer and look for products that have the Proudly Wisconsin cheese or Proudly Wisconsin dairy badge.
To learn more about how you can support Wisconsin's dairy industry, visit wisconsindairy.org.
And starting next week, organic grain producers around the state will have several field day opportunities coming their way. Aaron Silva, who's professor and extension specialist of the old grain program, says despite inflationary pressures, organic product sales exceeded $71 billion last year and are expected to grow this year by at least a 4% rate. More stories like that available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Drying out after a wet Wednesday, mostly sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 84. For tonight, mostly clear skies, a mild night with a low of 64. Another warm one on Friday, a spotty shower or storm can't be ruled out, a high again of 84. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. a lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning.
We are rocking.
We are rocking now.
Yeah. Sunny skies. It is 7:35. Highs in the low 80s today. Get used to staying in the air conditioning. It's going to get even hotter the next few days.
That's right.
And now Jim Santel joins us, attorney at law. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for being with us.
Gentlemen, always good to be with you on a Thursday morning. As we often say, lots of things going on. It's a lot. A lot to consume, a lot to digest.
Where do we begin anyway?
Keep it all straight.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the big decision on transgender treatment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Sure. So this is pending, obviously, in this term of the United States Supreme Court. An oral argument way back in December when the Biden administration, remember Joe Biden, he used to be our president
yes.
at the time, he was advocating that the Supreme Court overturn, reverse, and reject the position of Tennessee and about 25 other states out there that have limited the legality of medical people and healthcare providers providing transgender healthcare to youths, people under age of 18, who are going through the transgender process. That includes beta blockers and other hormone treatments. The Supreme Court has said that, yes, indeed, states can do that. They can issue legislation that prohibits medical providers in particular states from doing that. And again, about half the states in the union have some variations on that. And so it's not just respect to Tennessee, but throughout the country that this has big impact. And of course, the issue is not only the effect upon transgender youth, but as we were chatting offline, what is the consequence of this in many other areas? We know the Supreme Court has, for example, recently permitted the president to go ahead and get rid of transgender service members in the military, at least on a temporary basis. We've got issues about sports and, yes, bathroom issues continue to not plague our nation, but they seem to be a focus of a certain component of the population. So the concern is not only about the argument here and the position, but also what the impact of this. For what it's worth, John Roberts says, you know what? Because this is an evolving field, he talks about the safety, the efficacy, and the propriety of medical treatments being unresolved on the face of the planet. Invokes some English studies and things in Great Britain. He says because of that, it's the people, it's the representatives and legislatures. They should make those decisions. Courts should not. Sonia Sotomayor, needless to say, goes in the opposite direction. And she says, no, you need to embrace this as an equal protection issue. And that's her position.
Well, it's such a partisan issue. I mean, you know, all the way through these laws that they put in place in all these states, it refers to sex in right. every line. And the court said that it didn't have anything to do with sex.
Right, right.
And that was their right. decision.
Yes, yeah. It has to do, right, with distinctions other than sex. It is the kind of argument that, once again, maybe only lawyers and people who play around with these kinds of things can fully appreciate. Again, Sonia Sotomayor takes that apart, and she gives a great number of examples. She actually identifies a number of youth, principally by their initials, not their full names, and says this is entirely about sex. It has to do with, obviously, gender dysmorphia and how you feel about your own body. It is completely about that. And she accuses the majority of saying you're hiding behind this linguistic categorization. There is in saying that there's no equal protection issue here. Of course there is, she says. Yeah. You and also treating males somewhat differently than females. Lots of arguments about the nature of the equal protection that's not being afforded here. Treating, she says, similarly situated people differently, and dismisses what John Roberts and the majority say about that.
I think a lot of the comments from the conservatives on the court made it very clear that this was a purely political decision. I'm just looking at an article on this, and Justice Clarence Thomas, for example, insisted medical experts, get this, unbelievable, have surreptitiously compromised their medical recommendations to achieve political ends. Where the hell did he get that from? I mean, what kind of legal decision is this based on? That's right out of the clear blue. And then Amy Coney Barrett raised concerns about boys and girls sports teams. This had nothing to do with the case at all. And they're using all of these political arguments, these political points, to make a decision that affects all of these states and all of these children and the families that are trying to help their own children.
Right. And it is regrettably a part of the language of the Supreme Court these days that we do invoke from time to time these push button and dog whistle kinds of issues mm-hmm. to say, you know what, this is about that. This is not about that. This is healthcare. This is about the equal protection argument, 14th Amendment. And as Sonia Sotomayor so very compellingly says in, again, an extensive dissent, she says this is about young people and the families and the people who love them mm-hmm. and decisions being made at those levels. And sort of indicates my words, not hers. You know, how dare you turn this into something other than that issue? And a lot to read, 118 pages. Yeah. I know all your listeners have already consumed all of that. I know Dom isn't going through it for a second time right. with his highlighter and doing an index on it. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yes, it's a lot.
Well, here's what Sonia Sotomayor said. She said the court abandons transgender children and their families to political whims. I think that is the bottom line. That's telling it like it is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Jim, and again, you know. She's joined by, obviously, we have to note, Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson. Mm-hmm. Kagan writes something separately as well, but they're very strong in opposition to this. Sometimes, as we know in history, the dissents become eventually the majority opinions, but obviously not in this time, not in this era. And we wait for the next shoe to drop on these kinds of important issues.
Talking with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, every Saturday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, what other court cases are pending with the Supreme Court this term before they adjourn?
Sure. We've got, just some by my count, somewhere in the teens, so lots of cases yet to go out of 65 altogether. This is a big one. One of the other ones may be coming out this Friday, maybe next Thursday. Those are the days in which the Supreme Court has once again said we will probably issue opinions on those. And then we're coming right up against, of course, the 4th of July holiday, which is a very informal deadline for getting all this done.
Okay.
But lots of cases, including as we have talked recently on this very broadcast, that thing called birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment, the attempt by the president to carve out, again, a subclass of people who we thought were citizens up until now. And the issue there, not so much about the 14th Amendment, but whether or not judges, an individual federal judge, has this right to enter an injunction, a temporary restraining order that applies nationwide, the universal injunction issue. Oh, we may not get a decision on 14th Amendment. We may get a decision on whether or not judges can do those kinds of things. A big deal at a time when lots of judges are doing just that, including in the passport area with LGBT travelers, many, many things out there. So that's a big one. Other issues, obviously, of equal importance, don't want to rank them, but issues related to storybooks that children should be permitted to or not permitted to see in the public schools that have LGBT issues, some things related to internet access for adult sites, all kinds of things that the Supreme Court is wrestling with these days.
Well, they're bringing all this stuff up because they've got the Supreme Court in their hands. So certainly they're going to get some of the decisions that go their way, just like the transgender youth treatment case. But let's get into what happened here in our own Supreme Court, making a great decision this time in favor of Josh Call, or basically any AG at this point making decisions in lawsuits. Summarize that case for us.
Sure. So what's going on here? It goes way back to 2018. Who said that justice is speedy, right, in the state courts or the federal courts? What happens? You recall this, and again, Dom does well, as I continue to invoke our chronological ages here. Way back then, what happened was Scott Walker, in the wake of the election of Tony Evers and Josh Call, legislature passes legislation in the state that basically says if the executive wants to settle civil cases, these are civil matters, not criminal cases, before you do that, before you settle any claim against the state, you got to come basically to the Joint Finance Committee, back over to the legislature and get our approval on that. It's been up and down in the courts. 2020, the Supreme Court rejected a challenge, said Josh Call go back to the lower courts. Eventually, interestingly, there was a Dane County Circuit Court judge. Her name was and still is Susan Crawford, who ruled in 2022. Mm-hmm. This is unconstitutional. You can't limit the executive branch's prerogative in this area. Finally gets back to the Supreme Court. And then again, as you've indicated, just a couple of days ago, in a unanimous decision, we should all be celebrating that once our justices are in agreement, 7-0, that does happen at the federal level, by the way. Supreme Court unanimously says no, writing from the pen of Brian Hagedorn. He says that this is a constitutional issue. You can't give the power to control litigation to the legislature. That's within the purview of the executive and the attorney general in particular. That's the reason why this is so very important.
Yeah. They originally, of course, let this thing slip through. And now unanimously, they at least focused on one issue, and that is the settlement issue, throwing it to the legislature, which was crazy all by itself. We're not even dealing with at this point. I don't think there are any cases or lawsuits pending in regards to the power that they took away from the governor. I think that's done. That's a done deal on that. But this was in the lame duck session of the legislature. They pushed this thing through. Other states did that, by the way, but the governors didn't sign off on it. Scott Walker did. And this is what has resulted from it.
To limit his successor. And as a practical matter, again, that's the big issue. And it is a reason, frankly, for Democrats, Republicans to be solid. Because at some point, again, the governor's mansion changes hands. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't want to limit the capacity of the executive branch. There are all kinds of ethical reasons. You can even imagine the specter. I've got a lawsuit that Dom and I, again, I'm invoking his name many times here this morning. We are in litigation and he is trying to settle the case. And I say, okay, we've got a resolution for this. Mm-hmm. We're talking about litigation strategy, about dollars, things in the context of our own clients. And then we've got to go to the legislature and air all of this and have a legislature vote, or at least a committee vote on whether or not we think this settlement makes sense, disclosing in that setting all things we've talked about already, all kinds of issues that make this very impractical. Thank goodness in Wisconsin, we're no longer doing it that way. Back to normal.
Wow. Okay. Do you know if anybody is challenging the issue of DEI being illegal? Is there any kind of case floating out there? Because I know, the president has declared it illegal, that people can't do it, and he's preventing private interests from actually carrying out DEI.
There are actually many of them, but they go into specific areas. For example, programs inside federal agencies that have been shut down, and people coming forward and challenging those on the basis that they're materially affecting the capacity of the agency to do its work. They're impacting things like rights of people and permutations all across the board as he continues to perpetuate that unfounded notion somehow this is bad for America.
All right, Jim, we're going to come back with more, so hang in there.
Stay with us. Coming right back.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Madison can't seem to get enough of Serenity Pet Spa because we are bursting at the seams with adorable dogs. I'm Liz Johnston, founder and internationally recognized certified master groomer. With two locations on the east and west sides of Madison, you'd think that'd be enough. But demand is so high for our award-winning grooming, Serenity Pet Spa is opening a new location on Junction Road in Middleton. Serenity's not your average groomer. We understand your pets. From wiggly puppies to anxious seniors, you can trust the pros at Serenity Pet Spa because we focus on every dog's unique needs. We are passionate about caring for their health and overall well-being. To celebrate our growth, we're offering 10% off at all locations for new clients until July 31st. Book your appointment today at SerenityPetSpaMadison.com. And be sure to catch my segment with John and Gordy in the morning every first Tuesday of the month as I share my expertise. Serenity Pet Spa, doesn't your dog deserve the best? SerenityPetSpaMadison.com.
Certified Master Groomer Liz Johnston with Serenity Pet Spa. Committed to its mission to provide world-class grooming for pets and the people who love them. SerenityPetSpaMadison.com.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature once again finds itself in federal court for two racial gerrymandering cases in a trial beginning June 16th. Voters and three pro-voter groups accused GOP leaders of violating the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The cases were brought in late 2023 by Black North Carolina voters, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, the state NAACP, and Common Cause. They contend that GOP legislators intentionally diluted Black voting power in the so-called Black Belt and other regions, affecting 9 state House districts, 5 state Senate districts, and 6 congressional districts. The original complaint contends, quote, "The General Assembly targeted predominantly Black voting precincts with surgical precision throughout the state in drawing and enacting the 2023 plans at the expense of traditional redistricting criteria to achieve preferred district lines that diminish Black voters' ability to elect candidates of their choice at all levels of government," unquote. The legislature, in a familiar refrain, claims the gerrymandering was done for partisan reasons, out of bounds for federal courts, not for racial discrimination reasons. The trial is expected to last through July 9th and a decision before fall. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stephanie Miller here. Listen up, my pals John and Gordy are up for Best Radio Team in Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll. I know, I was surprised too. Just kidding, please vote for them because they lead into my show, and when they do well, it helps me out too. Me, me, me. Love you, John and Gordy.
We love you too, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller Show next on the Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy back with attorney Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. They offer passion over profit, convenience over complexity. They're helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids, it's improving the quality of life through better hearing. It's Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Go to their excellent website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com.
We were talking during the commercial break about nationalizing the National Guard or
the Marines.
The Marines.
Sending in the
yeah,
troops.
Sending everything right. in. Right. And that is become a huge issue now. And you mentioned something about that. It's something, there was a hearing yesterday about it, right?
Yes, exactly. We know we talked about it on this very broadcast last week. A federal judge named Breyer, B-R-E-Y-E-R, that's not the former Supreme Court justice, but Charles Breyer, he's a district court judge in San Francisco. And he looked at all this, he had a hearing, and he said, you know what, the basis upon which any president can federalize the California or any National Guard is you got to make a finding of a rebellion. people trying to overthrow the government. You've got to have an invasion. And talks all about how this is just not that. This is people protesting. And yeah, some of it may have gotten not violent with a capital V, but a little, some rocks thrown and things like that. But that's not a rebellion trying to overthrow the government. So he basically says, Donald Trump, you can't do this. You're without constitutional and statutory authority. Mm-hmm. It is appealed right away, of course, by Donald Trump through your Department of Justice. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is, again, the court above Judge Breyer, again, encompassing California and Washington and Oregon and Alaska, Hawaii, a huge a portion of the country, basically said, we're going to have a hearing on this to determine whether or not the lower court's order should stand. They did that just yesterday, about an hour-long hearing or so, and it's just an opportunity, again, to review what the lower court has done. Hard to say. We don't predict a whole lot from what happens in oral arguments, but it appeared that at least, again, this is just a three-judge panel, and at least some of the judges were at least sympathetic to the president's view that he is the commander-in-chief. He's got to be concerned for the entire country, and for that reason, he's got the authority to do this. And so we'll see what the Ninth Circuit does. A couple of options that may come out of that, if indeed the Ninth Circuit goes in the opposite direction. One is what's called an en banc proceeding. Could have all the judges of the Ninth Circuit, 20 some of them, getting together to review that. Probably in that setting, they would go with Judge Breyer. Ultimately, where could this go once again? Our friends at the Supreme Court, this could end up there, as do many of these cases. But it's topical right now. It is hot right now, not only because of the legal issues, because it relates to the president's capacity, as we were talking again, to bring what are basically political differences. I don't like the political and partisan views of a mayor in a particular city. And because of that, I'm going to do something either to restrict their funding, in this case, even to shut down the legitimate public debates that are going on in those cities. That's a different kind of thing that a president has never done before in American history.
Well, it's not an insurrection. Yeah. It's not a rebellion.
No.
Again, these are protests. So how can the Ninth Circuit even come to any kind of conclusion that it would be okay for the president to nationalize the military right. like
that's,
this?
That's the head scratcher. When you read Judge Breyer's opinion, it is so good. There was some great language in there, too. I read it during the course of the events, the community events of last Saturday, about how, you know, it's troubling that the president would even say that somehow public debate, protest, the opportunity to exercise your First Amendment rights, that somehow that's a rebellion, Mr. Yeah. President, that that's insurrection. So it is difficult to believe that any judges, however, whatever their political background may be, would go in that direction. We'll see if things have happened like that in the past, but we're not done with this issue by a far, far stretch.
Now, you said it's a three-judge panel. They could go to the full circuit, right?
Yes, it could. If again, likely the governor, he is the plaintiff in this case. If there is an unfavorable decision to California, he could say, you know what, I want everybody to decide this. And they may well grant that request, especially in the Ninth Circuit, if you get an opinion from two or three of these judges. That's different from what probably the majority of the Ninth Circuit judges would do. Likely that this may be heard by all of them, and that could further delay all this, of course. But this is not the end in the federal courts by any means. And again, maybe one day, no time soon, but this could get up to the Supreme Court as well.
But the crazy part is that don't they know the repercussions on granting something like this? I mean, every city can be occupied at that point. Everybody
right.
could be watching the military, you know,
marching through their towns.
Yeah. That's the concern that your questions just raised. Okay, the president wakes up one morning and says, you know what, I don't like what I'm seeing. Yeah. Those protests along the highways and in the public ways, and there is rebellion going on, and I'll make that finding, as the president did. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, the tanks then can roll in, and we can do something again. The National Guards have been federalized a couple of times. It's always been to advance civil rights, right? It's to ensure that again, President Eisenhower sent in the National Guard to ensure that segregation, Brown versus Board of Education, too, is followed way back in the 1950s. We do that to enforce the rights of people, not to trample on them and restrict them. That's why this is so very different today.
Boy, it's just absolutely crazy. And it just makes us all really nervous and on edge. And we're already watching the military tramp through our towns or cities, grabbing people off the street. And people are just, you know, worried about their friends, their loved ones, their coworkers. I mean, the chilling effect is just outrageous.
Yeah.
And you like to think that the courts would go in that direction, yeah, also to support rights of people.
Yeah.
Jim, we got to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll talk
always
to you
a pleasure.
Yes, next
always.
Time around. You can listen to Jim's show, Amicus, a Law Review, on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. And tomorrow on the show, we've got Rocker joining us, also Savannah Tomei Olson and Pam Yockey. That's going to do it for this Thursday.
Wow. Busy day today.
Busy, busy, busy. Stephanie Miller's next. So long.
Wait. Uh-oh.
Look out. Here comes the... Oh, no. Look out for the drone.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. A week of war, and it's only intensifying.
Iranian missiles hitting multiple locations inside Israel today, including a direct hit on a medical building in southern Israel. Firefighters say apartment buildings were also hit.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. As President Trump considers military action unless there's a deal, there is word this morning that Iran will send its foreign minister to meet with European counterparts tomorrow in Geneva. Hackers possibly linked to Israel say they've wiped out $90 million from an Iranian crypto exchange. Well, this was fast. Hurricane Eric was a tropical storm one day ago and rapidly intensified into a Category 4. It just made landfall in western Mexico, downgraded to a Category 3, Acapulco now in a hurricane warning. Texas got rocked when a SpaceX rocket blew up on the pad. That's a sound from 2 miles away. You're listening to ABC News.